Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That would be me. Kevin Herb, also alongside. Say hi to everybody.
I am gearing up for the modern pentathlon.
Are you going to run one?
No, but I've not really watched this Olympic sport. And as I try to do right up until the Olympics now in this program, is educate you a little bit more in what to look for during the Olympics. And I'm learning that modern pentathlon is actually a quite interesting event. Are you still with me? He's gone. He has walked out of the Sunbury Motors studio.
I am in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Visit online at REWfinancial.com. And our phone line, powered by Lenape Solar, 1-800-795-9565. Go to LenapeSolar.com. See, Pirates are in first place and the Phillies are in last.
See, I thought this was what this program was all about, answering your questions and educating you on sports.
Okay. Here's your moment to educate the populace on the modern pentathlon, and let's just hope that whatever audience we have, when they hear those words, hangs into the end of this explanation. Please go ahead.
I must admit, I have never watched the modern pentathlon, but it's a very intriguing set of events.
Yes, you and millions of other Americans. That's one of the reasons we don't talk about it on the show.
And that's one of the reasons why they're trying to do something to bring it back. They used to have separate shooting and running in the events. It was five events. Now it's combined to four, because what they've done is they've made the shooting and running events similar to the biathlon in the Winter Olympics, minus the snow and the skis. So you basically run, hit a target. You have there's 100 meters, then you go through five targets. A 1,000 meters. Another 1,000 meters, then you go through another five targets. Another 1,000 meters, you go another five targets. And then
this sounds like South Central Los Angeles.
It could be. Maybe that's where they got the idea. Some of the other, then you take those scores, combine that with fencing, and you're in a sudden death bout in fencing against another athlete. Then you throw that in with swimming. It's a 200-meter freestyle, and then a 12-jump equestrian course. It is a very, very interesting set of sports. Very much like the decathlon, except they're not all tied to track and field the way the decathlon is. Tell me it doesn't take an all-around athlete to do that, though.
It does take an all-around athlete to do it.
It's almost like a triathlon.
I don't watch those either.
Okay, then. I don't have anything to tell you about that. I don't know why. But yeah, it's been an event that's been in since, I think, the fifth Olympiad in Stockholm in 1912. So there you go. That's the preparation for London.
Didn't Jim Thorpe win a gold medal in that?
I don't know. I'll find out. That sounds about right, though. Let's see. Medal winners in the modern pentathlon. Let's see. There was Charles Leonard in 1936.
Yeah, that's great. That name resonates throughout the valley.
He won a silver. George Moore in 1948 in London won a silver. Richard Mayo in 1932 in Los Angeles won a bronze. Robert Beck in 1960 in Rome won a bronze. That was on the men's side. In 2000, it was Emily DeReal who won a silver in Sydney. So there you go.
Wonderful.
So that's your thing to watch for this coming Olympics, or one of the things anyway?
No.
You know, if it doesn't fall into football, basketball, baseball, it's a stretch for you, isn't it?
I'll watch the Olympics. I have no problem watching the Olympics. I like watching the Olympics. And the opening ceremony, you can have that.
Yeah, I don't even like that.
Look, really, look, march in.
Yeah,
that's really
get
cool.
It done.
That's real. No, march in. It's really cool. I don't care how long it takes. Just you know, I think that's really cool. Bring the Olympic flag in. Really cool. Light the Olympic torch. That's great. That's you know that signals the games are underway. Okay, but I don't need Sting singing, and I don't need to. I don't need to see what the native dance happens to be, and I don't care if they release birds into the sky.
I agree with you.
And if they were to do that in West Virginia, then all of a sudden, then you were to hear shots ring out. So,
yeah, I do agree with you there. I do agree with you there. It does go on a little bit long.
Little long. Jim Thorpe won in the decathlon and the pentathlon.
I didn't see him on that list. I wonder why.
Well, because it probably is the old form of pentathlon.
That could be. I didn't think about that.
It's probably because it's the old form. Let's see. Long jump. Javelin throw. 200 meters. Let's see. What else? Discus throw. 1,500 meters.
So what would the would have See, been that, just called the pentathlon then instead of the modern?
Yes, it was called the pentathlon, yes.
Ah, okay.
So you won a gold in the pentathlon and you won a gold in the decathlon.
See, there you go.
So
now
I was correct.
That's educational programming right there. Even I learned something there.
Even you, this entire experience for months has been a learning experience for you. Our number 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. Yeah, Thorpe had a .252 career batting average in the majors.
He was probably one of the most versatile athletes ever.
Of course he was. He played for Carlisle, for goodness sakes. And guess what? He was it.
It reminds
me,
one of our listeners was kind enough to send me, and I haven't got a chance to go through it all yet, send me some of the Pottsville Maroons memorabilia.
One of the great stories of all time, the Pottsville Maroons, because they were undefeated, if I recall, I want to say 1925.
I believe that is correct, yes.
And a team that is rarely talked about because that also was the year that the New York Giants came into existence in 1925 with Tim Mara as the owner. And the Pottsville Maroons have never received really their just due for being the great football team that they were at that particular time.
Beat the Chicago Cardinals at Comiskey Park 21-7 in what was widely believed to be the NFL championship game in December of 1925.
But again, they do not get recognized as the NFL champion. They played in the Anthracite League for many years, and they could beat anybody. I mean, after the Anthracite League collapsed, they applied for and received a franchise in the NFL. And they played at Minersville Park. And you know, the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets were playing that time in Philadelphia. And the blue laws here in this state prohibited football on Sundays in Philadelphia. So the Maroons play the 25 season. They win, and they're never recognized. I believe the Giants were recognized as the champion in 1925.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember exactly how that went. There was the big controversy about it. I'm still trying to find that part out. I know that the Pottsville Maroons got legitimacy when they ended up beating the Four Horsemen with Notre Dame and the Four Horsemen. That's what finally brought them notoriety of any type.
Right. Yeah, and everything was disorganized. They were trying to organize it, but it was not organized back then. And Frankfurt was supposed to play Notre Dame, the former Notre Dame Stars, and the best team in the NFL in the East. And Frankfurt was the dominant team at the time. But what happened was Pottsville pulled ahead in the standings, so they won the right to play the All-Star game. So they had, the minor league park and only had 6,000 seats. So they booked the much larger Shibe Park where the A's and Phillies were playing at the time in Philadelphia. And the game was in the Yellow Jackets' designated territory. Frankfurt complained to the league commissioner, Joe Carr, about all this. And they wanted the Pottsville franchise suspended if they played in Philadelphia. So Pottsville still went ahead with the game. And they claim the ownership that they later received verbal permission from the NFL by phone to play the game. And Pottsville won the game over the former Notre Dame Stars 9-7. But they only attracted 8,000 fans in Philadelphia. So it was not a financial windfall. And what happened is Joe Carr suspended Pottsville and removed them from the NFL and prevented them from finishing the schedule. The Cardinals owner at the time, before the Bidwells bought it, was a guy named Chris O'Brien. And he had scheduled games against the Hammond Pros and the Milwaukee Badgers at the time. And, both of whom had already disbanded for the season. So they set it up. And O'Brien's intention was not to secure a championship game, but to improve their record so they can entice the Bears and Red Grange into one final game against them. And the game against the Badgers brought about a scandal of its own when the Badgers filled out their roster with four high school players. So both teams were sanctioned by the league, and, of course, Pottsville's out of the league. The Cardinals had the best record, and they were awarded the championship by the league. O'Brien refused to accept the title, and afterward, the league never officially awarded it. And later, both the franchise and the NFL would claim that the Cardinals were the 25 champion and not Pottsville. The Cardinals, by the way, did not publicly attempt to take credit for the title until 1933 when it was acquired by the Bidwell family. And the Cardinals have only won one other championship since. That was in 1947.
Do you know who the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets then became?
I want to say the Detroit Lions.
I'm pretty sure it was the Philadelphia Eagles. And the only reason I'm comfortable saying that is I remember there's a website, PottsvilleMaroons1925.com, that I visited a few years ago. And that was what they claimed on that website.
Okay.
So I'm going to give credit to them if they are correct, that not that I knew that. I just knew that from reading that.
I see. The Frankfurt Yellow Jackets. All right.
A team that would, as they reference it, would later become, as I recall, they say, a team that would later become the Eagles.
Okay. Okay.
But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. I haven't gotten through everything yet, but I thought it is very, very interesting to see. A lot of it's a reproduction, not quite the original stuff, but some great stuff listed in there. I want to thank you.
That's great. No, that's great. Yeah. Well, actually, the reality is there was actually 2 years between the Yellow Jackets and the Eagles.
Oh, really? Now, that I did not know.
Yeah.
Took them a little time to organize?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we do have this just in to WKOK News, and this is sports-related as well. Emergency crews are on the scene of a five-alarm fire at the old Hershey Park Arena.
Yeah, Sarah talked about that at the top of the hour.
Okay, well.
Yeah, Sarah had that in the news top of the hour. What happened was the fire, I guess, erupted in the roof area. It was about 1 o'clock this afternoon. About 1:10, fire crews were on the scene. They have Dauphin County crews there, and then crews from Campbelltown and Palmyra also have been called in to the scene. Thus, it's a five-alarm blaze. They're renovating Hershey Park Arena. They were putting the ice surface in today because they still use it for youth hockey, and the Bears use it to practice when the Giants Center has an event. So, and Sarah will have an update on that at the bottom of the hour on 1070 News Radio WKOK.
Of course, that was also the site of a very impressive basketball game.
Wilt's 100-point game 50 years ago this year. Just had the big celebration. I've done many a basketball game in there, and I've been to a couple hockey games in there. I went to a Bears game once, and I saw an exhibition game between the Whalers and the Capitals, Washington Capitals. And that's where I met Joe Frazier. It was a men's women's basketball doubleheader. And his daughter Jackie played for American University. And it was the opening half of the doubleheader, so I had him on at halftime. Shook his hand and sent a search party in to find it. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. The Thursday edition brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Back with more of Modern Pentathlon, the KOK way, after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Our Olympic primer continues.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about the idiosyncrasies of handball.
Is this thing on?
I believe it is. I can hear you right now.
All right, I've got to do something here to save the show. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. The Phillies are in last place. Now what do you do?
Same thing I did the last three games.
Chase Utley's not the savior.
I didn't think he would.
I can tell you, a hobbling Ryan Howard isn't. And Roy Halladay, it's too long before he gets back. Thus, trouble.
And I watched
lots of trouble.
I watched the end of the game, and it seemed like the only guy that was happy about the win was the guy who hadn't won a game in, well, at all this year, was the pitcher. That was about
it. Cliff Lee finally won, yeah.
I mean, everybody else was like, yay, we won. Great job, Cliff. He was the only one that had a smile on his face as they were giving high fives at the mound.
Well, it's been a hard run.
Yeah, it looks like they've given up, too.
Oh, I don't think they've given up.
I said it looked that way.
Well, of course it looked that way to you. You're bitter.
That may be.
I mean, if it's not somebody on a horse after running or after swimming in a pool, you're not interested.
Although the only good news that came out of Philadelphia besides, well, it wasn't technically out of Philadelphia, but besides the win, Ruben Amaro did meet with Cole Hamels. But that's all they're saying right now.
They hand him cash?
I would hope so, but I don't think so.
Really? Huh. I should have talked cash. I should have.
The only thing that I had heard was that a clubhouse attendant stopped him before he went to the exit at Citi Field and said, "Hey, Cole, Ruben would like to see you." That usually means one of two things. One, you're going somewhere else, or two, we might be offering you some money.
All right, now here's something. Let's go to the NFL. And the NFL is going to improve the fan experience in stadiums. Because fans at NFL games will get to see on the replay board exactly what the referee is looking at under the hood. They'll see the same angles, same time as the referee does. It'll all be in the stadium. A positive for fans. I've never understood the fear about showing replays in stadiums.
Well, now they won't even have to go under the hood.
Well, no, he has a closer look at what's going on.
I know, I was making a joke.
But you have to make the fan experience worth going to the game. You can't make the experience such where sitting at home is a better experience. Right? The atmospherics to then go with the replay capability makes it a better experience than sitting at home and saying to yourself, gee, I wonder if the modern pentathlon's on. Update on the Hershey Park fire next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show.
And the strong bond that you formed over the years with your friend.
Okay, well, Rick and I grew up together, very close friends from the time elementary school all the way through high school. He was my center, so that's an automatic bond between the quarterback and the center. But our friendship went far beyond that. And the neat thing is our friendship stayed strong when we were done playing together and throughout the years of me coaching and him working for the prison. And so that was really neat and really special. And this is a special day.
It is a special day for you. It's also in order to raise money for scholarships. You wanted to put together not just the golf tournament, which is filling up as we speak, but also silent auction items. What type of signatures were you able to get along the way?
Well, the neat part is, and this tells you a lot about the Penn State tradition, how many guys have just bought in to help us. We've got the three Hall of Famers, Franco Harris, Jack Ham, Mike Munchak, all signed. Blair Thomas, who I coached with at Temple. We got Kerry Collins, Coach O'Brien, Matt Millen. We can go down the list, Robbie Gold. But we've got a lot of great Penn State memorabilia that we're going to either raffle off. We've got a signed 72 jersey, which was Rick's jersey signed by Coach O'Brien. And I can't say enough about how gracious Coach O'Brien has been to lend his hand in support of this. The money's going right directly back. Warrior Run Midget Football League in honor of Rick. He coached there. He coached his kids, his nephews. So he had a great impact on the community when he got done playing.
It's going to be at Winding Brook Country Club in Milton. And I know you're looking forward to that with a 1 o'clock shotgun start. How can people now continue to get involved so they can be a part of this great day, but also help out scholarships for many others?
Okay, well, you know, again, we got whole sponsorships, players, raffles. Ed Reeser, who is my cousin, is involved with a lot of the monetary part of it, so we're sending all the money to him. Again, his email, ed.reeser, R-E-A-S-E-R, at gmail.com. You can reach a radio station for any information there, but we've got flyers and all the most of the local golf courses, and we want you involved. So reach out to us, get involved, come out, support us.
This is going to be for scholarship money. That's what it's going to. What, in the end, what kind of tribute will this be to the life of your good friend?
Well, just, again, he loved football. Rick really embodied to me what the game of football was all about and his family. He was passionate. He was a hard worker. He loved kids. He was a great teammate and a great friend. And to me, that embodies really what the game's all about. This will embody what his life was all about, and it'll give us an opportunity to give back to these young kids, because I've said this repeatedly. You know, you always got to give back to the community. I'm proud of where I grew up. I'm proud to have called Rick Forsman my friend, and we're going to make sure that his name is associated with this this whole situation that we're doing here with the golf tournament. So it's going to be a neat day, and we're going to continue to honor his legacy.
This will be the first annual event. Now, one question off the beaten path. The weekend before you have this, which will be the 13th of July, I know you're going to the Pirates game against the San Francisco Giants. So now you have to explain to Central Pennsylvania how a Central Pennsylvania kid who has now come back to Penn State in Central Pennsylvania is a San Francisco Giants fan.
Well, that's a long story, Steve. That goes way back. It actually goes back to when I was a kid, and I had my brother had a baseball card of Jack Hyatt. My brother's name was Jack. So that was an initial association, but I've always was a huge Bobby Bonds fan as a kid. And everybody knows about Barry, but Bobby was the original Bonds and the original dual-threat guy, if you will, that could hit home runs and steal. Five-tool guy, could do it all in baseball. So that's kind of where it started, but that bond has remained strong, and I've been smart enough to get my kids to be Giants fans. So we all got it in the family. So we're looking forward to that day, too.
By the way, they're the wild card leader at the moment, just to make Charlie feel better. So once again, this golf tournament will take place 13th of July. You can get involved any way possible, obviously. You can also call at any time at 570-649-5721. That's 570-649-5721. We'll continue to push this on the air as we continue to go along. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far, because I know this really goes to your soul.
Well, this is really going to be a neat day, and we're going to give back, and just please come out, get involved any way you can. If you just want to come out to the dinner, we're letting people do that. That's $30 just to come eat, get involved in the prizes, all those things. So we're going to have fun. Come join us.
All right. That'll be at Windy Brook Golf Club in Milton. Charlie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Charlie Fisher joining us. And the only stipulation he had was that you can go to dinner, Kevin, but you're banned from the course.
Well, that's probably safer for the course, to be honest with you.
Well, no, it was the course's request.
Yeah.
Something about summer conditions, you know, and the fact that, you know, you turned into a modern pentathlon and try to ride a horse on it.
I always fix my divots. There's just an awful lot of them to fix. That's the problem.
Well, you know, that's, everybody's their own way of getting exercise. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Lenape Solar Hotline wide open, boys and girls. 1-800-795-9565. What do you think about instant replay being shown in the stadium? You'll now get to see in the stadium what the referee sees under the hood.
I can't understand why it wasn't that way from day one.
Insecurity.
I mean, that's the way it was on television. When you were watching on TV, you got to see the same replays.
But at the same time, but if you boo at home, nobody hears you except you and the people around you. When there are massive boos in the stadium, which then indicates displeasure with the officiating.
But it's not like that doesn't happen anyway when the replay gets thrown up.
Yes, but we're talking about this. Officiating is a sensitive subject on every level.
I know.
On every level, it's a sensitive subject.
Listen,
that's why we have Bill Carollo for football and Rick Boyajis for basketball so that we can have an open conversation about this. And both guys, by the way, were thrilled with the opportunity to get out and talk about what they do and how they go about their jobs.
But the other side of that is if you're going to wear the blue, if you're going to wear stripes, you're going to have a thick skin. There are too many officials at every level of sport that want to be seen in the game. And if you don't see an official, if you don't see an umpire, then that must be a really well-called game because you don't notice them.
I think that used to be true. I think that's becoming less so, and the reason it's becoming less so is because of replay.
I hope so.
I think replay has changed that, and that's where this is where baseball fails. And, in fact, I've got to go to this article Rick Riley wrote on baseball, because he is absolutely right about the pace of baseball.
No, there are too many umpires that have a quick hook right now, too.
In terms of throwing guys out?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're being said to them. Okay, here we go. written July 3rd, ESPN, called Play Ball. I mean, really play ball. Rick Riley's column is as follows. Things that nobody reads about in America today. The online legal mumbo-jumbo before you check the little I agree box. Nobody reads that.
That's true.
Kate Upton's resume. No need.
True.
Major League Baseball's pace of play procedures. Not that Major League Baseball games don't have a pace. They do. Snails escaping in a freezer. It's clear no Major League Baseball player or umpire has ever read the procedure, or else how can you explain what, and this is his article, what I witnessed Sunday when I sat down to do something really stupid, watch an entire televised Major League game without the aid of a DVR. It was Cincinnati at San Francisco. Rick Riley continues. It was 3 hours and 14 minutes.
Oof.
Can somebody please stick two forks in my eyes, snore a palooza? Like a Swedish movie, it might have been decent if somebody had cut 90 minutes out of it. He said, I'd rather have watched eyebrows grow. He said, I should have known better. Riley continues, consider, there were 280 pitches thrown, and after 170 of them, the hitter got out of the box and did absolutely nothing. That's 170 out of 180 pitches where the hitter got out of the box and did nothing. Mostly hitters delay the proceedings to kick imaginary dirt from their cleats, meditate, un-Velcro, and then re-Velcro their batting gloves, despite the fact that most of the time, they hadn't even swung. Buster Posey of the Giants, the man who wrecked your dinner reservations, has this habit of coming into the box, stopping outside it, and unfastening and refastening his gloves before the first swing. What exactly was he doing in the on-deck circle? His cuticles? Riley continues, I knew I was in trouble in the first inning when the Reds' Brandon Phillips stepped up. My notes on his five-pitch at-bat were as follows. Strike. Steps out. Examines the trademark and the bat at length. Steps back in. Ball. Steps out. Grabs barrel of bat. Seems to be talking to it. Ball. Steps out. Takes three practice swings. Taps the corner of the batter's box. Steps 1 foot in. Taps the plate. Places other foot in. Stretches, fiddles, finally looks at the pitcher, then calls timeout, and does it all again. Then, swing and a miss. Steps out, adjusts belt, adjusts jersey, addresses barrel again. Grounds to short. Apparently, the bat didn't listen. Riley continues, by the way, the average number of seconds per pitch this game, and here is the biggie. 31.34 seconds per pitch.
Wow, that's an eternity.
That's 31 seconds per pitch, not a misprint. He says, do you realize that people can solve an entire Rubik's Cube in 22 seconds? All this, of course, is in direct violation of Major League Baseball's pace of play procedures, which states umpires will not grant time for batters to step out of the box if to do so would unnecessarily delay the game. It's right there in the rule book. Riley continues, unnecessarily delay the game. The only delay these hitters knew was unnecessary. And when they weren't doing that, the pitchers were lallygagging on the mound, re-rubbing pre-rub baseballs, or gazing up to identify the cloud animals in the sky. This is what a new rule should be. Umpires who don't order batters back into the box within 12 seconds because the rule states that a pitcher must throw the ball within 12 seconds of receiving it will get a room at the hotel next to newlyweds. Riley continues. There's also an amazing passage in the pace of play procedure. When given permission to leave the batter's box under Rule 6.02, batters may not step more than 3 feet from the batter's box. It's in the rules. These guys wandered away from the box like two-year-olds at a petting zoo. Six times they left the dirt circle around the plate altogether and walked in the grass, the entire circle. And by the way, this nonsense about there's only a 2-minute, 10-second TV break between half innings. He says, bull feathers. Only once did the break between half innings take 2 minutes and 10 seconds or less. The rest of the time, it was miles over. The break for the top of the fifth inning was 4 minutes and 12 seconds. Where did everybody go? Out to feed the meters? He says, there are more ways to waste time in this game than in a month of Teamsters meetings. There were 14 attempts by pitchers to pick off runners, not one of them even coming close. Most of them resembled somebody tossing a turkey to a coworker. He says, then he puts a parenthesis, new rule, pitchers get 2 pickoff attempts per runner. For everyone after that, the umpire adds a ball to the hitter's count. 4 times the hitter, after going through his Art Carney routine, got into the box, decided that the pitcher was messing with him, and then called timeout. 2 times the pitcher wanted a timeout. 5 times the catcher called timeout to go out to the mound to discuss, what, Obamacare? 4 times the pitching coach wanted time. That's 15 seconds a game that didn't need to be added to the clock. That's 15 timeouts of the game that didn't need to be added to the clock. 15 timeouts. Right? Can you imagine if Tom Brady called timeout anytime he wanted? You'd be in Foxborough long enough to vote. And explain to me why a reliever who's been warming up in the bullpen for 5 minutes still needs 8 pitches to warm up on the mound.
I've always wondered that one.
Does a field goal kicker get 8 extra practice kicks? It's dumb. Like tennis grunts, all this crud, this is Rick Riley's words, all this crud is just a lot of bad habits that only serve to annoy the very people Major League Baseball's trying to captivate, the fans. It doesn't sell more TV ads. It doesn't get the game done before the kids have to go to bed and doesn't do anything to make your thumb hit the CHNL up button sooner. The game was mercifully won by the Giants 4-3 on their last at-bat when the Reds right-hander Jay Bruce botched an easy fly ball. 3 hours and 14 minutes later, 170 step-outs and 3 double-shot macchiatos just for this? Please, I beg you, bring me the NFL.
I can't say there's much in there that I would disagree with. Nothing is more annoying than watching a batter fiddle around. The one thing he didn't add there was re-gripping the bat 7 times. Like when you wring your hands like you're wringing the bat, what good is that going to do? Your hands are already stuck to the bat as much as they're going to be because there's pine tar on there. You're not going to get a better grip than that.
Well, you know, I've advocated forever the 1-foot rule.
Oh, there's no question there should be.
You must keep 1 foot in the batter's box.
And it's trickling down.
Right. And from the time a pitcher gets the ball, he's got 20 seconds. And they should put a clock up there. And if it goes past 20 seconds, it's a ball.
Yeah, it's trickling down because you see it now at not only the college, but more importantly at the high school and little league levels and youth levels, where players are calling for timeout or looking, batters are looking to the umpire to get timeout so they can step out and do what they say at what they see at the major league level.
All right. Now, I did a game the other night, 2 hours and 14 minutes.
Pretty
2 hours and 14 minutes. Look, they don't step out. They don't wander around. They don't mess around. Hey, I've never in 7 years of doing minor league baseball in the New York Penn League have I seen games where I felt like people were messing around. Pitchers get up there, they pitch. The only time I feel like the game slows down at the New York Penn League level is when somebody is on base and pitchers really take their time a lot more. It's not because of the batters, but they take their time a lot more. When there's nobody on base, most of the guys in this league get the ball, pitch. That's what the major leagues need to do. Get the ball and pitch the damn thing. Just go. Make it move. Okay? What is delaying doing? What is hanging around forever doing? I mean, I can understand going to pick up a rosin bag or something like that because, look, you're trying to keep, you know, the moisture off your hand. Okay, I've got that. All right? But 1 foot has to stay in the batter's box. Time clock needs to be put up 20 seconds. Time clock in basketball is a time clock in football. You can use one in baseball. You get that ball back in your glove, you got 20 seconds.
I think the only thing I personally disagreed with in that assessment was the throw over to first or pickoff move. What I would much rather see is you're allowed two soft tosses over. I mean, if you're going to do a pickoff move, do a pickoff move, not this little lob over just to make keep him close garbage.
I have no problem with the pickoff part. I think the pickoff thing can stay in there.
Just make it a good pickoff move.
Okay, the pickoff can stay in there because I want replay put in and I want challenges given to managers. And, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't need to have Charlie Manuel out there yelling and screaming at a guy. I just need him to walk out and say, look, check it. But and then show it in the stadium and let everybody be a part of it and see it. Because guess what? You will not be boring the stadium by showing it.
I agree with you. And there's enough big screens in these major league ballparks now.
I mean, the umpires need their own little screen. Okay? So they can look at it. Or else get an independent upstairs that is a fifth umpire that is hired to look at those replays. And you know, the controversies we've seen with foul balls that weren't caught, no hitters that were shouldn't have been no hitters because the ball kicked up chalk, and it was obvious, both resulted in people being tossed out of games. And the people tossed out of the games were the ones who were right. The Indians kid was tossed out. He was right. Mike Matheny got tossed out. He was right. The guys that got tossed out were the people who were right. The people that tossed them out were the ones who were wrong. Tell me that's not bizarre. All right. Show being brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit at rewfinancial.com. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. What would you do to improve the game that we love so much? Back with more after this on WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
On the SteveJonesShow.com, we did a poll on who will be watching Modern Pentathlon, and so far, no votes.
It's not what's on there at all. The last thing I saw, unless...
Training camp.
Not me.
Oh, of course not. You want to watch people ride a horse and...
I'm looking forward to the NFL.
Shoot something.
But not training camp.